Hey, welcome into the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Patrick Allen here with you as always. You might remember last Thursday, I said I was coming down with something. I got sick. I was miserable for a week, but I'm coming out of it now, back in business for the Thursday show for you guys, which is why I wanted to start off. This is not a plug, well, at least one, not one we're getting paid for. If you are ever sick, I don't know if I've talked about these on the podcast before. If you are ever sick, scratchy, sore throat, whatever, sinus, congestion, allergies, go get these cough drops. They're called Fisherman's Friend. They were invented in England in like the 1860s. I went to the store one day. I was so miserable, sore throat. I go to the store and I just wanted to find something that looked like my, like, cause nothing was helping. And I was like, I need to find something that like my great grandfather took. And I saw these on the bottom shelf and I'm like, that looks like exactly. I bought them. They taste like pure gasoline. They're absolutely terrible. They will clear your sinuses, ease your throat. They're unlike anything I've ever had. So go check them out if you guys are sick this time of year. Got Matt Verderam coming up with me in just a second. Lots to talk about. Did you guys see that Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are opening a steakhouse? It's going to be called 1587 Prime. Can't wait to go eat there. I love a good steakhouse. I know Verderam does too. I can't wait to ask him about that. So we're going to get him in just a minute. We're going to recap free agency so far, talk about some of the targets that are still out there for the Chiefs and get Verderam's take on everything that's happened, the Chris Jones deal. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Great show. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button and let's get all the Chiefs fans in here for the party. All right. If you haven't downloaded BetMGM app yet, you're definitely going to want to take advantage of this limited time offer deal. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10, place a first bet wager of $5 on a live bet. Once your bet is placed, you're instantly going to get $150 in bonus bets. You'll also get three bonus bet tokens of $50 that allow you to make multiple wagers with your bonuses. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, bit.ly/arrowgm. You can find that link in the description below our stream, as well as scan the QR code on the screen to start signing up. Again, the link is bit.ly/arrowgm. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check out the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. All right, let's get Verderam in here. Let's talk some Chiefs. What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad you're recovered.
Thank you, man. You know, the colds, like, they just tend to linger. Like, you have a couple bad days and you think you're out of it. And it's like every morning you wake up and you feel like crap, feel a little better throughout the course of the day. And it just repeats. That I know it's more dangerous. I think I would rather have the flu. Because it's like you're miserable for like 3-4 days and then you're done. It's over. Colds, people will be coughing a month later.
Yeah, colds suck. Our entire family was basically sick for a month. Not all of us at the same time for a whole month, but just took turns. Just Steph had COVID. I'm pretty sure the rest of us did, but it was one of those things that like nobody really realized it was COVID until like the fourth person got it. And they were like, probably COVID, and she was forced to test to work being a nurse practitioner, and she had it, and so thankfully nobody had it like real bad, but enough to be just a pain in the ass. Yeah. And then like Genevieve's had a cough, and Maisie, poor kid. We went to Culver's, and she had basically a half gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream, and then got the stomach bug like 6 hours later.
Oh,
and was throwing up mint ice cream everywhere.
That might be it.
I mean, it was just nothing. It was just green. It was brutal. But yeah, it seems as though we've all survived it. So that's it's positive.
Thank this you. Is what I understand I have to look forward to with a kid on the way, which is that they're sick all the time and they give you everything. So you're sick all the time.
The problem is when they go to daycare, because they haven't been exposed to just about anything. Now all of a sudden it's just like boom, 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 boom. And you are just inundated with it. I've been fortunate. Like, I'm somebody who just in general doesn't usually get sick very often. Unless it's it's like a Friday in the summer and it's nice out, then it's a shame. Yeah. But that's not been that big of a problem for me. I feel like Stephanie always gets sick from the kids, and I'm always able to kind of avoid it. But yeah, it's not great. It's not great. It's not the best part of being a parent.
That's because you retreat down to your lair down there in the basement.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I stay away from the family, mostly out of spite.
By the way, speaking of sickness and injuries, I understand you threw the old back out, lifting up the kid out of the crib today. It's a tough one. I'm an idiot, man.
Like, I woke up, she's in the crib. I'm like, all right, I got to change the diaper and get you changed for the day. And I lifted her up, and the second I did it, I was like, son of a bitch. And thankfully, it's just my, I've done it before. It's my muscle, like, right behind my left shoulder blade. So I was still able to, like, go play pickleball today and everything else. But, like, it just, if I move my left arm, it hurts. So it's gotten better as the day's gone on. So I think I was lucky. Like, it could have been a lot worse because I know you have had, like, back things where you've really hurt yourself. Yeah. I've only done that a few times, but when you do it, that is devastating. Like, you can't do anything.
Nope.
You're face down on the floor. I've only had that happen, thankfully, two or three times. Jeremy, how much is this baby boy? That baby, she's in, like, the 98th percentile for a 23-month-old girl. She's 20-some-odd pounds. I always make fun of her because she always sounds like it. Anytime she wears a t-shirt, like, it just rides up onto her gut.
Yeah.
And, but you know how it is with babies. Like, she's probably going to end up being some kid who's built like a pipe cleaner. nobody eats like that kid. It's incredible. So let's hope that height is her friend because with the way she eats, she's going to need that height. It's key.
Yeah. The cribs aren't made for lower back.
No, they're not.
You know, lifting with the legs, but look, man, I'm looking forward to it. We were just at the doctor. We just got back from the doctor, 28-week appointment in the third trimester, just about 11 weeks away here. And they measure the belly to see. And right now they're saying it's within the margin of error, but she's measuring 30 weeks, her stomach. So I was like, I knew it. I knew he was going to be, a little fat ass in there. He's just chunking it up. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm scared for her if he's going to be like one of these like 10-pound monsters coming out of there.
Yeah, I hate to say it because forgive me, any of the female viewers out here know I'm coming from a good place, but like as a man, it's not your problem. You know?
Oh God. Like, it'll be my problem. It'll get made my problem.
Hey, listen, you give all the support you can, you do it. But like I always laugh when like these guys becoming dads and they're like, look, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be involved. And it's like, look, bro, let me tell you something. I had that same attitude the first time. Okay. I'm like, I'm going to be the rock my wife needs. Now she had a C-section. She knew it was going to be a C-section. So there wasn't any of that pushing and everything else.
Sure.
But when you have a C-section, that's a major surgery. You're cutting through like tons of abdominal muscle and everything else. And I'm like, I'm going to do everything I can do for her. And you realize real quick, there's nothing you can really do.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing you're doing. Yeah, sure. I can get up and I can help I can help with the baby and do everything I possibly can. I did that. But the reality of it is like, I can't breastfeed the kid. And if you don't have a milk supply in the fridge or something, there's nothing you can do. If that baby wakes up at 2:40 in the morning and needs to be fed, like,
yeah,
she's out of luck with me.
Yeah.
So you just, I have learned just be really supportful. Be really supportive. And that's about all that you can do. Because unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, as the man in this situation, you're somewhat limited. Like it's just,
as a man in any situation, we're all limited.
Well, yes, that's true.
Let's get that. But that's the process has been cool. And it's definitely made me appreciate even more just how incredible women are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, And they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Enough about, sicknesses, pregnancies. Let's talk about the Chiefs. And just before we get into it, I just got to ask you about this. You're gonna be lined up at that steakhouse when it opens up, when they cut the ribbon?
I'm pumped, man. I'm definitely going. I'm gonna expense the hell out of that thing. Yes, for work, sure, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's two floors, and did I read it was like 10,000 square feet?
They've got mock-ups of it already. Yeah.
So that's impressive. Although I will say though, a little bit of a risk here by Kelce Mahomes. Like, if you're going to serve meat in Kansas City, you better get it right.
That's true.
You're not doing that in Cleveland. Okay? Yeah. Like, you better get it right.
Yeah.
So it's a big risk by them, but I have a feeling it's going to garner the support of the city.
It'll be the only two multi Super Bowl champion Hall of Famers in the history of sports. So when they walk out on the field and they throw an interception, they're walking back to the sidelines. The crowd's like, "Yeah, don't worry about that pick, Pat. But what the hell are you guys doing down at that restaurant? You call that a steak?" Yeah. It'll be the only flag that they'll get.
It's true.
It's all right. Really cool. Just further deepening their ties to the Kansas City area. It's awesome. Yeah. Let's get into free agency. A lot going on across the NFL. People are throwing money around like crazy. But the Chiefs kind of got the Chiefs started. But they did with one guy.
Oh, yeah, sure. Before free agency got going, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that because we haven't talked since just after the Super Bowl. Were you surprised that they – not just that they kept Chris Jones, but that they spent the amount of money they did to do it?
So I'm not surprised they kept him. I was very surprised at how much they paid. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I don't think it is a bad thing, but I was surprised. I was in Indianapolis talking with other writers, talking with people in the league, talking with people around them, like you name it. And I think the general thought was they might go to $80 million guaranteed. $95 million was not in that equation. But I think what happened was, first of all, I think they realized two things. If they could make it a rolling guarantee, which they did, because like, part of it is right now, part of it vests after this year. Okay, although it's just, they're called practical guarantees because in reality it's all guaranteed. But it makes it so that Hunt doesn't have to cut the entire check in one shot. So that helped. The other part of it is I think they just realized, like, if you want to keep him, you're paying him this money. That's what's going to happen. Now, the reality is it's not 5 and 160. It's like 3 and whatever it comes out to, 96 or 100, however it shakes with the signing bonus. And then after that, if they have to, they can just move on. Like they would have a little bit of dead money with the salary cap because you'd have the signing bonus, which is by rule, it has to be split evenly throughout the course of the 5 years. And I believe if memory serves, the signing bonus was $30 million. So like there'd be $12 million left, but like that's not going to preclude them. If they need to move on, they can. So in the end, I think both sides got what they wanted. The Chiefs got Chris Jones back on what is essentially a 3-year contract. And Chris Jones gets paid $95 million guaranteed. And the Katz brothers get to look like they signed the guy for 5 years and 160. So everybody wins. It's an essential move. Like, to me, going into free agency, there were two guys they had to keep. And they kept them. They kept Jones. They kept Tranquil. Now they've also signed Wharton. They've signed Pinnell, Irv Smith Jr. as well, which, you know, fine. But the only thing that, in my opinion, they got left to do now is sign a receiver. And yeah, they got to figure out tackle, but I think maybe in the draft to do that, they have to figure out a receiver. But man, Jones and Tranquil coming back, Snead on the tag, we'll see where that goes. they're set defensively. I mean, they're locked in again.
How much of it do you think was that they have this opportunity, this rare opportunity to be the first NFL team to three-peat?
You know, I think it factored in a decent amount. I do. If they lost to the Bills, let's just say, I don't know if they go that far. Maybe they say, you know what, maybe it's time to kind of turn over a new leaf, get a little younger there. Maybe things change. But not only did they win the Super Bowl, Jones was so instrumental in doing it. And there is an inherent pressure. Like, normally you win a Super Bowl and all the pressure's off you. You've won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Damn, it like ratcheted the pressure up because right. Now it's, oh my God, you got to go for it. You got to try to win. And, you know, it's like if you're 13-0, right? And you're trying to go for an, it's like, well, now you got to try to go undefeated now. I mean, you're so damn close. And I think, quite frankly, they owe it to that team to go for it. They owe it to Mahomes and Chris Jones and Travis Kelce and Trent McDuffie, who's been there for this run to this point, these two Super Bowls, and the Karloftises of the world and the Humphreys and the Smiths. You owe it to them. You owe it to, and the coaching staff as well, by the way. Like, you owe it to everybody in that building to go for it for one more year at a bare minimum. Now, obviously, with the contracts they signed, they're going for it for at least a few more years here. You go for it. I'm a big believer in, like, look around the league. The Eagles, when they got to the Super Bowl, to me, in my opinion, that's the toughest team the Chiefs have played in this entire run in all the playoffs. The Eagles have had to basically rebuild that team. Kelce's gone. Reddick and Sweater looking like they're going to get traded. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was gone. Now he's back. You know, Miles Sanders is long gone. There's been all this drama with A.J. Brown. You know, that team fell apart last year. When you've got a shot to go for it, when you're that great, you go for it. And it's doubly true when you're trying to win three in a row, you have to try to go for it. I think you're compelled. And I do think that factored into them going to the lengths that they went to bring Jones back.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think you've got to think about the Travis Kelce factor too. I actually think those two things are somewhat connected, and I haven't really heard anybody talk about it. But if you're Brett Veach and you're looking at your personnel, your key personnel, what you have and how much longer you have it for, you've got to keep building this thing long-term for Mahomes. But at the same time, you're looking at Travis Kelce and you're like, okay, like maybe he starts thinking about retiring. Maybe he wants to hang it up. Like, if we don't win it next year, and then I don't have a Hall of Fame tight end anymore until who knows when, maybe never. If I bring Chris Jones back, that helps give me the best opportunity to take advantage of the assets I have right now. Because the page turn is coming, right? Like, in the next couple of years, Kelce's going to move on at some point, probably. Like, the page turn is coming. So do everything you can right now with this group when you have these Hall of Famers, Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, like, you know, two of those guys. Jones maybe could play, you know, a few more years, but like any moment, Andy Reid and Travis Kelce could be done. You just don't know when it's going to be. And so I think it makes a ton of sense. I'm glad that they did it earlier in the season. I was thinking more about keeping Snead, but that was when it looked like they were a disaster and they turned it around. So if they win the and we'll get back to free agency in just a sec, but I'm just curious to hear Verderham's opinion on this. If they win the third Super Bowl, does that, Andy Reid's been closing the gap on Bill Belichick a little bit, but he's still got a long way to go. If he does a three-peat, how much closer does that take him to Belichick? Does he surpass him? And does it make the Chiefs, this Chiefs team, the greatest team of all time?
I don't think it surpasses Belichick because he won six, but I think it makes it an argument, because I could really argue that Belichick has been a tire fire without Brady. And I'm not that guy. Like, I hate that argument because I think, like, look, you know, he had him. So it is what it is. And they were amazing for those years. It's not like they squandered it. Like, they were unbelievable. But it is true. Like, Belichick before and after him was a disaster. Andy had a lot of success before Mahomes showed up. Didn't win a Super Bowl, but was constantly in conference title games, got to a Super Bowl, million division titles. I think Andy, if they win another one, then to me, Andy's up there with Belichick and Lombardi. To me, he's already there with everybody else. I mean, maybe you want to say Paul Brown, toss him up there. That's fine. He's basically the godfather of the modern day game. But like Andy, to me, already he's up there with like Gibbs and Parcells and you know, Vermeil and whoever else you want to toss in there, you know, Knoll and Walsh. And as far as the other part of it, yeah, I've said this on my own show. They're the greatest team of all time if they win next year. Yeah. And anyone who knows me knows how much I love history. Like, Two teams in NFL history have won 3 years in a row. 1929 to 1931, the Green Bay Packers, and the 65 to 67 Green Bay Packers. The latter team is more notable because that was two-thirds of it during the Super Bowl era. And that team had more Hall of Famers on than any other team in the history of the sport and was coached by Lombardi. The first team, oh, God love them, like they played in a league that like, teams were popping up and folding every other week. To me, like that's all fine and well. That doesn't hold a candle to the modern-day teams. But even the 65 to 67 Packers, the league was tiny at that point. You didn't have the merger yet. The AFL was still somewhat in its infancy. If the Chiefs win 3 years in a row in the salary cap age, 32 teams in the league, it's not like any of these teams are expansion teams that you're beating up on.
Free agency.
That is an unbelievable accomplishment. I already think they're one of the, five best teams of all time. If they win a Super Bowl in this coming season, they are the greatest team in NFL history. I don't even know how you could argue it. First of all, it would mean 4 out of 6, which the only team to ever do that is the Steelers in the 70s. They went back-to-back twice. They had a 2-year hiatus in the middle.
Yeah.
And they'll have been to 5 of 6 Super Bowls. That has never been done. Nobody has done that. That is a staggering, staggering success rate, which obviously they already have, but that would really even add to it more. So, yes, to me, I don't even think you could argue it. If they win the Super Bowl next year, absolutely, they're the greatest team of all time.
Yeah, and I think they know that. And I think it was very clear. Okay. The minute that Super Bowl was over, they were talking about a three-peat on the field. I mean, that's how these guys are wired now. Like, that's it. You go to Kansas City and you're hearing it from guys like Drew Tranquil. And like, you go to Kansas City, it's the same way people used to talk about the Patriots. There's a banana standard, and it's all about winning a Super Bowl. It's all about winning. And although it doesn't seem quite as stiff as it was in New England, which maybe is their secret sauce. It's just that little bit of extra. All right, let's get into free agency. I just want to go through some of these guys. We don't need to talk like 20 minutes about all of them, but I want to get your opinion on the people that the Chiefs brought back and then talk a little bit about who their remaining targets might be. So Turk Wharton's back just recently here today in a 1-year, $2.75 million deal. Good signing for the Chiefs. I mean, they've got nobody. You know,
yeah, it's fine. I mean, look, it's 1 year. It's 2.75. I mean, he knows the scheme. He's a solid rotational player. You know, I'm not going to go nuts over it, but you have Jones back, which is, of course, the big move. And then you have Wharton and you have Pinnell. I have an unreasonable amount of love for Mike Pinnell because I just love the fact that the guy's an absolute monster inside against the run.
Yeah.
Like, it's like playing 12 on 11. And I got to tell you, his Super Bowl tape is one of the most wild things I've ever seen from a guy who's like a borderline, like going to make the roster NFL player.
Yeah.
He was throwing Trent Williams around the field, like to a point that if you knew nothing about football, you had a very basic sense of it. You didn't know any of the players and you watched that game. Anybody who watched that tape would have been like, that guy's a Hall of Famer. Like that guy's right. Just dominating the line of scrimmage. Yeah. I mean, it was insane. But no, I think Wharton's fine. You know, you're not paying a crazy amount of money. You're not paying some long-term amount of money. I don't know how you could really quibble with it. You know, they've got the cap space. And Wharton's a guy who, again, look, he's been there, you know, for his whole career, his 4 years. He's got 7 sacks in 4 years. You know, he's been rotational. I mean, he's always played between 37 and 48% of the snaps defensively. Last year was 37. It's gone down every year, 48, 45, 44, 37. But, like, I don't have a problem with it. You know, you got to have guys who rotate in. He has a little pass rush juice. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting a move like that from them. And you mentioned Mike Pinnell, and I'm with you, man. That Super Bowl tape is wild. Like, if you get the all 22 through NFL, just go back and watch Mike Pinnell. He's got some plays in there. You're right. He just grabbed him and threw him. Like you could do to your toddler, like just toss him onto the couch, you know, get out of the way. It was wild. So he's back. I think he just in that game alone, they're like, we need to make sure we have this guy maybe in the rotation in the building around because he can do some stuff. What do you think about the, this happened a while back, but you haven't been on since then. What do you think about Matt Araiza coming over? His name got cleared. He was a draft pick by Buffalo. had some allegations that were disturbing, lost his job. Turned out he didn't do it. His name was cleared. Wasn't even at the party. Now he's the chief. Tommy Townsend's gone. Did you think it was smart for the Chiefs to let Tommy Townsend go? And what do you think of the signing of Ariza?
I mean, listen, provided everything's good in terms of the legalities of it all, Ariza is an insane punter of the football. I actually, for God knows what reason, I was watching the Bills-Colts preseason game when he punted that ball like 82 yards. One of the craziest things I've ever seen in a football field. That ball in the air went like 70-something. I mean, it just bounced out of the end zone. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, look, Townsend had an all-pro year, but last year struggled some. Was that injury? Was it not? I don't know. But I don't have a problem with it. You're paying. It's hard when, like, you're already paying Butker top-of-the-market money. Like, you're going to do the same thing with your punter. It's just tough. And you know, if you can get a guy like Ariza, that, to me, it's worth moving forward. You know, as long as you're really confident with the off-field stuff, I have no problem with it. I think it's a smart move, quite frankly. If that's what they can do to save some money and maybe get even a little younger and a little better, fine by me.
It was a shrewd move. And I when we did the show and talked about him, having a guy in a Patrick Mahomes offense, when the Chiefs, sometimes this happens because God knows Dave Tobe's going to have him coming, you know, they could kick it out of the back of the end zone. And if the NFL would allow it, Dave Tobe would bring it out. And they get tackled on the 15, and then somebody gets a false start penalty. And the next thing you know, you're punting out of the back of the end zone. Do you know how huge of an advantage it is to have a guy that can maybe get a touchback from back there, like completely flip the field where that doesn't matter for the defense and for the off? Like, it's an unbelievable advantage.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I think a lot of times we overlook the special teams game. And it's funny, like, if you're a Chiefs fan, how could you do it? I mean, think about the last two Super Bowls. I could argue that in those two Super Bowls, the two biggest plays in the game were made by special teamers. Tony, for all of his issues in Kansas City, that punt return, and that ball hitting off of a Niners foot and being recovered by Jalen Watson, who, by the way, apparently played the entire season with a torn labrum.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Also, not to go sideways here, but as we're recording this, Diana Rossini and Zach Rosenblatt over at The Athletic are reporting that Alan Lazard, the Jets are open to trading him. No kidding. I bet they are.
Yeah.
Any team who gives up anything for Alan Lazard, there should be a criminal investigation.
Yeah.
Like what? Because I see people in the chat, like, what about Alan Lazard? If the Chiefs trade for Alan Lazard, I am going to go postal for about 45 straight minutes on my show. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, why? Why would you ever sign? Do you know how bad he was last year in New York that the Jets, 4-year contract, are like, yeah, we're good. Now, right. Granted, it could be because the quarterback's about to become vice president. But, you know, there's a lot of moving parts with the Jets. I would not go after Alan Lazard, to put it that way.
Yeah, I'm also their next report's going to be that I am open to taking donations to help pay my student loans back. So,
yeah,
you know, get in on it. Deion Bush returns, kind of depth signing for them. You okay with that?
Yeah, fine. Fine. I mean, I don't think it's anything to, like, go crazy about, but yeah, I mean, he's been there for a couple of years. He knows what's going on. Fine by me.
All right. What about Mike Caliendo? We haven't seen him a ton, but the Chiefs lose Nick Allegretti, and good for Nick Allegretti. He stepped in. He's been great for the Chiefs. He goes and he gets a starting job. The Chiefs couldn't do that for him. So Mike Caliendo, is he the guy to, like, be the new Nick Allegretti?
He could be. He could be. Yeah. And by the way, I know, like, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, oh, that sucks. He lost Nick Allegretti. I couldn't be happier for Nick Allegretti.
Yeah.
Talk about a guy who just was a good teammate and really stepped up for him when they needed him in a major way, playing with a torn UCL. Yeah, Caliendo, listen, I think he probably elevates the Allegretti spot, you know, and he's going to play that backup guard role. They have some flexibility inside because Tooney can play all over the place. That helps too. But yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable assumption.
And some other guys they tender, Jack Cochran back at linebacker, Malik Herring at defensive end, Nazee Johnson, who they drafted in the 7th round a couple of years ago and then missed last season with an injury, is back at safety. Any surprises there? Anyone you're looking forward to seeing more of?
No, I think all those are I think all those are pretty expected. Cochran, when he had to, stepped in and did a nice job. So that's fine. That's smart. Herring is a rotational body on the D line. I would have been surprised if they didn't keep those guys for the cost that they are. I mean, we're talking under $1 million each.
Yeah.
No, I think it makes sense. I don't think there's anybody on that list. You're like, wow, really? And Najee Johnson, they really liked in camp, the beginning of camp. Like, he was getting major buzz, and then he tore his ACL. So hopefully he's back and healthy and see what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. This was an interesting signing, I thought. Jody Fortson, it was just reported, is gone. He's been a nice player for some Chiefs, made some plays here and there, but not really a big impactful player, but has been a great story. So they bring in Irv Smith Jr., who I believe he was with Minnesota first, and then he went to Cincinnati, I want to say.
Yes, you're
Cincinnati
right.
Last year. What do you think of Irv Smith?
I'm going to go ahead and say that Irv Smith's not playing a huge role. listen, I think it's safe to say he's not usurping Travis Kelce. And I think it's also pretty safe to say he's not usurping Noah Gray. So I've seen a lot of people say, well, you know, he's going to replace Blake Bell. Maybe. Or does he replace Jody Fortson? Because they love Blake Bell because he can block. And so we'll see what happens. Look, I don't think it's a big move. I mean, it's a depth move. You got to fill out the roster. He's a guy who does have athleticism. He was a second round, 50th overall pick years ago. There's talent, but he's never really done much with it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the guy's never had more than, like 350 yards receiving in a year. So I would not expect the top of the depth chart to change, either the first or the second spot at tight end.
Yeah, they were raving about him in camp last year. The Bengals were. I think probably because he's one of these really athletic guys, but he's one of these guys when he gets in the game, you know, by the end of the season, they were going to Tanner Hudson. So you just kind of, and I know Burrow got hurt and all that, but like, it just seems like for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to get it going. But look, sometimes styles make fights. Maybe he just hasn't been in the right system for him. If he can be a role player for the Chiefs, great. If not, you know, he may not make it out of camp. We'll see. All right, and then Drew Tranquil, you mentioned you thought that was one of the most important people for the Chiefs to bring back. He's back. Willie Gay Jr. is gone. How much is the team going to miss Willie Gay, and how good are they with Drew Tranquil?
Well, first of all, to me, other than Jones, Tranquil was by a mile the number two guy they had to sign. And I thought they'd give him a three-year deal. I pegged it at like 12, 13 million. They gave more than that, but not crazy more than that. The thing about Drew Tranquil that is insanely valuable is he can do just about anything. They were playing him at split safety at times at the end of last season, which I don't know that I would do that. They were trying it. But he can play in the middle. He can play on the outside. He can blitz. He can play against the run. He can cover. That is invaluable. That they don't have any other linebacker who can do all those things. None of them. You could argue, hey, you know, maybe Bolton's better downhill against the run, or you could argue that, you know, maybe Chanel's more athletic. Nobody can do all those things the way Drew Tranquil can. I still feel like there needs to be a 30 for 30 on how the Chargers were just like, we're good. 1 year, $3 million. No. We'd rather pay three times that for Eric Kendricks, who then they immediately released, and now he's on the Cowboys. I would just love to know. And now that GM is the GM of the Raiders, so truly the gift keeps on giving. In any event, I thought it was really important. As far as Willie Gay goes, listen, I hope it works out for him in New Orleans. You know, he's from that area of the country. He gets to reunite with a couple of former Chiefs and Tyrann Mathieu and Colin Saunders. So happy for him there. I don't mean this to come off as like it doesn't matter, he left. Willie Gay is a good football player. And I think he was really big in the culture of that team and everything else. I think Leo Chenault is really good. Like, I don't think they're going to lose a ton, if anything, because of the presence of Chenault. I think that's a really soothing balm for losing Willie Gay. And now Cochran's that fourth linebacker if they don't make another move, but I still think with the three guys are starting, that's one of the best linebacking cores in the NFL.
Yeah, and people are really excited about Cochran. So we'll see how it goes. All right. So those are the primary moves the Chiefs have made, mostly bringing back their own guys at this point. They're usually not super active in the first wave of free agency, sometimes not even the second wave. But there's some interesting names that are still available. And one thing that the Chiefs did, well, they've done two things. They franchised L'Jarius Sneed. There was talk of him being traded. There's still been talk of that. But then they did something that gave them cap flexibility, which was they restructured Patrick Mahomes' contract. I think they gave themselves like, $21 million, something like that.
Yeah, 21.6.
Is that their total cap room now?
No, so it was – so going into the new cap year, the new league year, is 15.5. That's obviously changed a little bit here because they signed Wharton. Don't know the terms on Pinnell. Smith basically got the vet minimum. And so it's only the top 51 count against your caps. I don't even know that Smith is going to factor in. Yeah. Wharton will. So my guess is, without looking at all the bookkeeping, they're probably at about $13 million in space. Of course, look, the big looming thing we haven't even talked about, but like the big looming cap situation, what's going on with Sneed here?
Yeah.
That is $19.8 million. I got to tell you, every day that goes by is a day that you go, okay, well, more corners have been signed. More money's been spent. There's less suitors out there. I'm not saying there wouldn't be suitors. There certainly would be. I reached out to a few sources on that yesterday, and I know this is like, put this in the file. It's obvious, but it's what I was told. Anything remains on the table here. Like the Sneed camp sounds to me like they're open to an extension. That they are open to a trade. Like they're open to the options. It's not like, hey, we want out of Kansas City. To my understanding, that is by no means the case. And there's been reporting elsewhere that the Chiefs, it sounds like they're hesitant to deal them. I got to tell you, and I think we've all gone a million different ways on this over the last 6 months with Jones and with Sneed and how they're going to manage everything. Why don't you just pay him? Like, he's 27. Jalen Johnson just got 4-76. Now, Jalen Johnson's 2 years younger, and he's a second-team All-Pro. Now, look, I think we all think Sneed got a job from being an All-Pro, but it is what it is. He's not one. 4-76, $54 million guaranteed. Why don't you basically give him the same deal but on 3 years? Like, if they offered him 3 years, $57 million, hell, make it even 60, right, because it's shorter, so what the hell?
Yeah.
3-60, and you guarantee him, I don't know, $45 million bucks. He's not going to take that. I mean, I would think it would at least be it. Now, maybe he'd say, no, I want 4-80. I want more than Jalen Johnson, which in that case, okay. Then I think it depends on the guarantees. But again, if the guarantees, let's say the guarantees went to 50 and it's 4-80. I mean, if you had to, it's a 2-year deal. You post June 1, the third year, you split. What is it going to be? $5, $6 million cap hit? In a year when the cap's going to be $300 million, who cares? You know, I'll put it this way. If they're not hamstrung by leaving them on the tag, then fine. But if it's precluding them from doing other things, then what are you doing?
Yeah. Like,
then make a decision and go with it.
Yeah, if you just let them go, you're going to get, not this year, but you're going to get a compensatory third round pick for him because someone's going to give him a big deal. Now they can't let him go now because I guess they can rescind the offer if he doesn't sign it. I think they might just have him play on the tag. I think what you said is true, that they're going into it and they're like, let's see what happens. If we get fair value, like if people are offering them a third round pick, they might just be like, we don't like why, you know, we'd rather have his services. We can get that by him just being a free agent. They probably want a second. And I've read reports that they think they can get a first for him. I'm not sure about that, but just because teams are weird about cornerbacks and first round picks, but like they may just sort of be like, let's see what happens. We've got him locked in and now we have cap space. There's nobody we want to spend a ton of money on in free agency. So maybe they're going to try to get like a Curtis Samuel or somebody like that, get a couple of veterans along those lines and then take their chances in the draft. They still need a left tackle, maybe. Depends on what they think about Wanya Morris. So there's some things to figure out. But they kind of have a little bit of leverage here where maybe they get to the draft and there's somebody who, now ideally you're getting draft picks now. Maybe they trade them later for a player, you know, and there's a lot of things that could go down. So I think it makes sense that they're maintaining their flexibility, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brett Veach is like, fine, let's go into the season. Like just what they did with Chris Jones last year. Let's get one more year out of this guy. He can play on the tag. We'll find a way to fill the other spots. Let's see if we can win this three-peat. He'll show up. And then next year he can go, you know, or maybe we'll extend him next year. Who knows what the situation is. It's going to be interesting. Let's talk about the guys that are out there. So there's been reports. Have you seen this, this Ricky guy?
Yes.
What do you make of Ricky?
Man has been somewhat accurate. Yes. I could be wrong. That's got to be a burner account, man. That's got to be somebody having a good old time, being like, you know what? Screw it. Free agency, I'm going to have a little bit of fun here.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody like in the league office, because that would be who would have access to a lot of this stuff going on. I think it's funny. I mean, the guy nailed the Calvin Ridley thing.
Yeah.
You know? So that's been – I've enjoyed this thoroughly. Hayden Hurst, the Chargers, you know, fine, whatever. But I will say this about the Chiefs, though. They've got to get one of these veteran receivers. You have to. I'm sorry. Like, they cannot go into the draft with this group of receivers and be like, hey, hopefully it works out. Because we always have this whole idea of like, yeah, you know what? First round receiver, plug him in. He might suck. You don't know that he's going to be good. John Baldwin, ring a bell? How about Snoop Minutes or Sylvester Morris? You don't know that the guy. How about Sky Moore in the second round, who is supposed to be this really good value pick? You don't know. If I'm the Chiefs, give me Hollywood Brown. Give me Tyler Boyd. Give me Curtis Samuel. I don't need a guy who's going to get 1,000 yards, although Hollywood could, I guess. I need a guy who's going to be dependable. 700-800 yards, going to catch the ball, going to run his routes well. Because if you have that, then you go into it saying, look, remove the fact Kelsey's a tight end for a minute, because it's all about just the weaponry, right? So you have Kelsey, you have Rice. Let's just say for a minute it's Hollywood Brown. You have Hollywood Brown, and you have Watson as your first four guys. That's fine. Plus you got Pacheco, you got Mahomes and a really good offensive line. You're good, man. You're loaded. Like, And then you can draft a receiver or you can draft the tackle. You have all these options open to you. If they don't find a veteran receiver, and Mike Williams, by the way, yes, is another option. If they don't find a veteran receiver, they're almost forced to draft a receiver right away. That to me is, I don't want to say a disaster, but like it's unnecessary. If Tyler Boyd wants $10 million and the Chiefs are at $8 million, bro, just give him $10 million.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here? It's not rocket science to figure out how to factor all that in. So I do think, to me, that's the only move that they got to make between now and the draft, but they got to make that move. That move. And I would like to see him bring back Mike Dana if the price is right, which at this point, it probably is right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what the hell? If you can get him for something like 2-10, like, so what? I mean, that guy had 7.5 sacks last year, and he can play inside and out. You hedge with the Menno and everything else. But I think the receiver is the most important portion of this.
Well, let's break down some of these guys. We'll start with Hollywood Brown. And I want to get to two super chats really quickly. Shout out to Raymond Chandler, who back when we were talking about the steakhouse said, they'll not serve burn ends, tight ends instead. Hilarious, brother.
Nice.
Appreciate the support as always. And so let's dive into Hollywood Brown. And Anonymous Mango, appreciate you as always as well. Says, hey, fellas, what do you make of Pat, I'm assuming he means Mahomes, following Hollywood Brown on Instagram last night and those Drew Tranquil tweets? If you guys aren't in the loop, Drew Tranquil's been on the recruiting trail for the Chiefs, which just endears him even more to the Chiefs kingdom. He has tagged both Hollywood Brown and Mike Williams on Twitter, trying to get him to come to Kansas City. What do you think of Hollywood Brown? And one other thing. Mark Boerichter, remember him? He tweeted that Chiefs fans don't want to hear it, but Hollywood Brown is just Mecole Hardman, $8 million more expensive. What do you make of that? And then what do you think of an Honest Mango's question?
I disagree that he's Mecole Hardman. I don't think he's as good as some people think he is, but he had 584 yards, 769 yards, and 1,008 yards in a Ravens offense that Greg Roman was in charge of. Then in 2022, he only played in 12 games, and he had 709 yards for the Cardinals. And then last year, played with nonsense at quarterback for three quarters of the year, and he still had 574 yards. Like, I think in Kansas City, I think he produces like Juju. In a different way, because he's a deep ball threat, stuff like that. But I think he'd have like 800-900 yards in Kansas City. I don't think he's a guy who's going to have 1,400 or anything. But I think he'll have – like, Mecole Hardman, to me, he's – listen. He, at times, was a valuable piece for them, but also, like, could disappear for a month. I don't think that would happen with Hollywood Brown. That being said, I think Boyd makes all the sense in the world for the Chiefs. I really do. And as far as the question, this is that time of year, man. Like, all these players are trying to recruit guys and get guys. And like, I don't make a lot of – I did find it kind of interesting, though, that Hollywood Brown followed Mahomes as trainer. That was kind of interesting. Like, it's one thing to sign a – or follow a player or, like, the coach or the GMs on Twitter. Okay, fine. To follow his trainer was a little bit different. That actually did kind of – pique my interest a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about Tyler Boyd. It's been in his entire career with the Bengals, was a second round pick. This is a guy that he had 2,000 yard seasons in 2018 and 2019. And then, of course, you know, they bring in all these, you know, Jamar Chase comes in. He's 841, 828, 762, 667. Those last few years where the numbers are down a little bit, keep in mind that, like, at that point, he's the third best receiver on the team. And that's right. Not a knock on him. T. Higgins and Jamar Chase are really good receivers. Is that why you think he's – do you think that he's the best option out of all those guys, Mike Williams? Like, I'll tell you my list because we're going to chat about them all. Hollywood Brown, Mike Williams, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd. Who do you want?
I'd put it this way. There's a few guys I'd take, but I think that he's the safest option of them. I think he's the safest. Like, if you said to me, who's the guy that I feel most confident give me 650 plus yards? Boyd. I don't think he's the highest ceiling. I think Mike Williams is the highest ceiling. Like, Mike Williams could just have one year where he stays healthy for 16 games and has like 1,200 yards. Like, that's completely in play. I mean, couldn't you just see Mahomes being like, hey, Mike, listen, go deep. Yeah, I'm going to throw this ball 60 yards and turn it into basically like a box out situation. I think Boyd, though, is to me, like, I think he makes a lot of sense for them because he's a veteran and he gets what you're trying to do and you can play him in the slot and he's dependable. He's got really good hands. That's just me. I really do think there's a high floor with him. I think the ceiling's higher with Brown and Williams.
Yeah, he's consistent. And I think that if you're thinking about the Chiefs last year, you're like, all you wanted was anybody who could just be consistent game in and game out for you. And until Rashee Rice emerged, other than Kelsey, the Chiefs just didn't have that. Maybe Watson would have an okay game and then he'd disappear. Like, there was just no continuity, no consistency with that wide receiver group. I'm with you, man. I really like Tyler Boyd. If the Chiefs can get him, he's 29. It could be that perfect. Well,
they're not getting Curtis Samuel because Curtis Samuel just went to Buffalo for 3 years and $30 million.
Oh, man.
So there you go. That is one less option there.
We were going to talk about Curtis Samuel next, and I'm a little bit bummed out. One, because he's an Ohio State guy. But number two, I think he's a good player. I think he's a really good player. He's never been, you know, incredible, but he's really talented. He's never really had, you know, a decent quarterback. I know he was Cam Newton there for a while, but, you know, throwing the ball was never Cam's strong suit. I think that's a good signing for Buffalo. I think they're better off with Curtis Samuel than they were with Gabe Davis.
I am conflicted on this. Gabe Davis has put up better stats than Curtis Samuel has, but Curtis Samuel's played with nonsense. So I think, you know, I'm in the middle of this. I think it's about a wash. I think Samuel will be better in Buffalo than he's been other places because of the, you know, the quarterback. I also think that Gabe Davis, while incredibly inconsistent, and if he was on the Chiefs, would drive me insane. I think he's probably a little bit of a better player. Like of all those guys you mentioned, Samuel, by the way, would have been my fourth pick because I would have rather had Brown, Boyd, or Williams. So, yeah, take that for what it's worth. But I will say this. The Chiefs, at some point, they've got to get up off their rear ends and figure it out at receiver. Like, you just can't – I mean, at some juncture, you can't move forward with this group. This group stinks. Like, there's no other way to put it. The fact they won a Super Bowl with that group of receivers is a miracle. Okay? I mean, other than Rice, forget it. The rest of these guys are either depth guys or they don't even belong in an NFL roster. So the Chiefs are going to have to figure this out here at some point. But I don't think it makes the Bills demonstrably better. I think it replaces Davis. But I think that's about what it does.
Would you have liked Samuel for that deal? It's 3 years, $24 million, but worth up to 30, probably some incentives in there. $15 million guaranteed. 3 years, $24 million, worth up to 30. Was that a good deal for the Chiefs?
Solid deal. It's a solid deal. I don't think it's like an unbelievable steal. I don't think it's an incredible. I don't think it's an overpay. I think it's solid. It's not a deal that I'm upset the Chiefs didn't sign. If they had signed it, fine. But it's not something that I'm like, oh my god, how did they not sign that contract? Like, I'm okay with it. Samuel to me would have been my fourth pick. I've always been a big Tyler Boyd fan. He would be my number one choice. And then Brown and Williams, I don't feel strongly about one way or the other. Like, I guess Brown just because he's younger and he'd be multi-year. But like, I think Williams is the better player. And if you get a healthy year out of him, he could have a year where he's incredible. My fear with Williams is he's going to play five games. That's my fear of Mike Williams. But, yeah, we'll see how things play out.
Yeah, let's talk about Mike Williams. He's had 2,000-yard seasons, has dealt with injuries. Three games last year and it was done. 13 games the year before. Hurt his back before the playoffs because Brandon Staley's an idiot and was playing him in a meaningless game. But before that, he played 16, 15, 15, 16 games. Played 10 games his first year.
Right.
Now, I think it's easy to point to, well, he played in all of these games and be like, he's not as injury prone as we all remember. But he gets hurt a lot. Like, yeah, just does. Because he
he's always banged up, man.
He's like leaves games. How many times have the Chiefs played him? And I'm always worried about Mike Williams because he was always mossing the Chiefs. And there's been so many games I remember where like he was out or he was in when the game started and he got injured midway through the game and didn't come.
Right. Right. I mean, so if you look at Mike Williams, I think it's more instructive to look like, so his snap counts on offense is rookie year 35%. Then it jumps to 63, then 85 in 2019, then 71, 79, 76, 78. Now, of course, 70, it's all about in those games that you play. I mean, last year I only played in three games using 78% of snaps. Like, how does that compare to, I don't know, a guy who is, like, let's take T. Higgins, okay, since T. Higgins is the number two receiver behind another really good receiver. Like, T. Higgins, his snap count's 75, 76, 68, 74. So, like, it's not bad. Like, Williams is actually out there, like, a decent amount of the time. But to your point, you're right. He does get banged up. He's hurt a decent amount. That being said, like, this is a guy who, over the last 5 years, in 2019, led the league with 20.4 yards per reception. And he had 1,001 yards receiving on 49 catches. Okay. The following year, that's when they got Herbert. He has 756 yards, 15 games, down year. Following year comes in 2021, 1,146, best year of his career, 9 touchdowns. 2022, only played in 13 games, had 895 yards. And then last year, got hurt with only three games into the year and already at 250 yards. So he is by no means washed. Like, he is performing at an elite level when he's out on the field. But like, to me, if you're the Chiefs, you don't sign him for any more than a year. And it's incentives-based. It has to be. He's coming off a torn ACL and he's 30. Like, I'm not giving him more than a year. Now, if they want to give him something where it's like legitimately a team option the second year, they cut him with no penalty, fine. But like, I would not guarantee a cent past the first year.
Yeah, and look, you don't want to put all your eggs in the Mike Williams basket if you're the Chiefs, right? But they're not going to do that. Even if they were to sign him, they're drafting a receiver. You can bet on it, right? So I love going after Mike Williams because, look, yes, are the injuries a concern? Sure. Is the age a concern? Sure. But you know what? If you're gonna trade what they traded for Kadarius Toney, knowing that guy's injury history, you're telling me you're not going to sign Mike Williams for a year trying to win a Super Bowl? Get out of here.
It's funny, though. Like, I know a lot of Chiefs fans are really antsy. They've sat there and they've done nothing about bringing other players. I don't know, man. Like, they just won back-to-back Super Bowls and they kept Chris Jones and Drew Franck. Like, I got to tell you, feeling pretty good. Feeling like I always look at it in this regard. Even if you're the biggest Curtis Samuel fan alive, okay, and I'm not saying it would have been a nice pickup, that's fine. Like, does that really change your opinion of the Bills if they see the Chiefs in the playoffs? Like, you're like, well, now they think about Curtis Samuel, I don't know what they're going to do now. Right. You know, I mean, like, Chris Jones changes your opinion of a team. Just does. I mean, he's that level of a player. You know, Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons because of the position he plays, that changes your opinion of the Atlanta Falcons. Curtis Samuel going to the Bills doesn't change my opinion of the Bills. I don't want to say I don't care, but like, okay, that's fine.
Unless he's playing defense.
It doesn't make, it's fine. I mean, just like quite honestly with the Chiefs, like if they get Tyler Boyd, listen, does it raise their floor at receiver? Yeah. But do I think all of a sudden like the odds of them winning the Super Bowl are going to move? No. I mean, they have Rice and Kelce. They need one more solid guy. That's what they need. They need one more, hey, this guy can give you a good, solid year. And if you do that, you're fine. You're good.
Yeah, Jerome in the chat makes a good point. Injury in Charger country is normal, but KC has a better record. That's true. I got hurt the other day just thinking about the Chargers. Stubbed my toe really bad. So there's something, some sort of voodoo hex on them.
I like how the Chargers waited until like 3:59 Eastern Standard Time to make decisions on how to get under the cap. Like, it's almost like they had to wake somebody up in the front office and be like, hey, do you know we're 25 million over? It's like, oh my God, are we serious? I thought we were under. Like, and it's like, all right, we'll do whatever it takes. But that is kind of a weird thing though with this year, just looking at it from afar. And we all know what things look like this time of year can be a lie, because a couple of years ago, everybody went all in and it was like, oh my God, this is going to be a brawl for this division. Chiefs won the division by Thanksgiving. This does not look like it's going to be a good division. I mean, the Chargers, it looks like they're going to be tilling the roster here pretty good. The Broncos have $85 million in dead money because of Russ and company. And the Raiders might start Gardner Minshew. Like, this is a year where, and if you look at, and this is a conversation for like May, so I apologize. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. But if you look at the division and the schedule for the Chiefs this year, a lot of winnable games on that schedule. Like, you got the division, which quite frankly, they should win all six of those games. I don't know if they will, but they should. They play the NFC South. Not a great division. What will be the spread on the Panthers game? Yeah. 30 points. And then they play the AFC North, which is certainly tough, but they get the two toughest teams, the Bengals and the Ravens, get them at home. So like, all right, it's Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Like, great. We get to see Russ again. And then Cleveland, which expect the defense, but not exactly terrified of Sean Watson. The Chiefs, if they're healthy next year, the Chiefs are not going to have too big of a problem navigating the season. It's all going to be about January, and that's where you got to find guys who can step up and get it done.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason you look at Mike Williams, because he's a guy that, yeah, maybe gets banged up a little bit. You can get him in the door. look, man, if you could just keep him on the field all year, like, he, you know, be cautious with him. It's all about the playoffs. Can you keep him healthy for January and February?
I would literally tell Mike Williams if they sign him, hey, man, you need an extra month to rehab that knee. You go right ahead. I don't care. We don't care if you play 8 games in the regular season. Just be nice and ready to go. Unlike your previous coach, who basically tried to get everybody killed the last week of the year. Like, we're pretty much just going to put you in bubble wrap until January. And then you know, show up and have a couple 100-yard games and we're good.
Yeah. Raymond Chandler says, appreciate you for the super chat. Anytime we're tempted to get frustrated with Veach, look at the GMs for the Raiders and the Broncos. Indeed. All right, real quick. Mike Dana. It's actually Dana, I think. We've been saying Dana on this show for years, but I feel like I heard the players say Dana. Fair enough. At any rate, whatever the hell his name is, I like him. He's a good player. He's out there on the market. I thought he would get scooped up with the way that he's played, the sack numbers that he's gotten. Are you surprised that he's still available? And do you think maybe he finds his way back to KC?
I'm not surprised because he's one of those guys who, I think he's a good player, but like, he's not a name. He had 1 year of real sack output. Like, I'm not surprised that it's a slow market. I mean, I think a lot of people around here are like, oh, Willie Gay, but he got 1 year at $3 million. Like, it's just sometimes it's hard, man. Not everybody's going to get paid. I think there's a chance he comes back. Now, the thing that is questionable is like the Amenahu factor in this is weird because he's hurt. When do they expect him back? You have FAU. You got to play him at some point here, right? And you have Carl Aftis, and you do have Amenahu, and Jones kicks outside on third downs. Like, there is a little bit of too many cooks in the kitchen at some juncture here. But if you think Amenahu's going to miss half the year or something, then yeah, just sign him. Like, I'd bring him back. So I think a lot of it really just depends on whether or not they think Amenahu's going to be back early. That, to me, is the big question. But I like him. I like him. I think he'd be a nice piece to bring back.
And keep in mind, like, you know, Dana's a little on the small side, 257, 6'2". He had five sacks 2 years ago, 6.5 sacks 2023, had a nice season. I feel like he's one of these guys that he's a guy that teams would like to have, but they, like, he might be an after-the-draft guy where it's like, okay, we know this guy's out there.
Good pick.
He's a pass-rushing specialist. Like, let's see how we do in the draft. And if we're looking at our defensive line and we're like, you know what, we need a few more sacks, that we know that guy's out there. Like, and I think he'll get, like, maybe a nice little deal, but teams might not be falling all over themselves because I think maybe he's somewhat limited. He's, you know, probably not terrifically great against the run. He's a guy you put in there on pass rushing down.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think he's a I don't think he's a top priority for Kansas City. Let's put it that way.
You know who he is? He's Wallace Gilberry.
It's not a bad comp. I liked Wallace Gilberry. Yeah. Of course, back then Wallace Gilberry was like their fourth best player.
he was a little bit
different.
all right. And then lastly, before we go, who the hell is going to play left tackle for the Chiefs next year? I feel like I'm more concerned about that than the wide receiver thing. I know they've got Wanya Morris in the building, but Donovan Smith is gone. I didn't see enough clown sitting on my couch. I didn't see enough from Wanya Morris that I'd feel great being like, yep, he's a starting left tackle next year. Maybe the Chiefs did. What's your take on this?
I wouldn't mind if they just bring Donovan Smith back. Like, now, that being said, the problem with it is it's going to be a one-year deal. And that's going to eat up a bunch of cap space. You know, it's easier to spread out the money if you have longer-term deals. I know this is risky, but this is what I would do. I would draft a tackle in the first round. Because the tackle class is loaded. It's really good. I would draft a tackle in the first round. That's how I would approach this. I get it. You're putting a rookie in charge of Mahomes' blind side. But if he's not ready, you've got Morris. And if things really look like crap early in camp, man, you could always swing a trade for a guy like a Donovan Smith or maybe even sign him. Maybe he's still out there in August. That's how I would look at this. I just think if you're the Chiefs, Can you imagine if they draft a guy in the first round and he turns out to be like a great left tackle and they got that guy, they have another guy cheap for 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
At a premium position. So that's how I would go. That's just me.
And they were prepared to play Juwan Taylor at left tackle.
They were.
And they let that go all, you know, for a long time. And then they decided to pick up Donovan Smith after the draft. So we'll see, man. I mean, they could do that if they don't think, maybe they think Wanya Morris can play right tackle. I don't know. What they've got some options. It's not like a tire fire at the position, kind of like receiver has been. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And it's really, you make a really good point. If they could get a guy in the first round of the draft that becomes a franchise left tackle for them, I mean, Veach has a lot of feathers in his cap, but that would be a big one.
It'd be huge. I mean, you're talking about saving, you know, $20 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, it's enormous. That's three really good players in free agency.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we got to get out of here. Look, you need to be over at Sports Illustrated reading all of Vertoram's work. So make sure you're checking that out. Make sure you check out his podcast, The Matt Vertoram Show, where you can get even more of his analysis on the Chiefs and the rest of the league. You can find that information, I believe, it pinned on his Twitter if you want to support him. Anything else you'd like to say about that, Matt?
Thanks, man. Yeah, The Matt Vertoram Show, because apparently I have that big of an ego. It is on Patreon. There's a couple different tiers. I know a lot of you are already subscribed to it, which is awesome. I will tease it with this. At some point in the next couple of weeks, the old man's going to be on as a guest, which should be fun. Of course, he's been on here before. It's Chief centric. Have at least two shows a week, Monday, Friday. Friday's got a mailbag and a guest on every week, and it's good. If you can put up with me here, you can put up with me there. It's a good time. I initially was like, oh yeah, I'll do some bonus episodes for the higher tier, you know, a couple a month. Turns out it's been like a couple a week because I just like to talk about the Chiefs. So yes. And I know people have asked me this and I've told them all, nothing's going to change anywhere else. I'm still here. I am just adding that on because I have a sickness. I just really like to talk about the Chiefs. So check it out at Patreon, The Matt Vertoram Show. I'd love to have people come board.
Never enough Chiefs content. If you want to be more involved in what we're doing here at Arrowhead Addict, check out the link in the description. We'd love to see you in the private Discord. We'll be firing up the Fantasy Football League soon for our members. It's a great way to support the Chiefs content that we do here that we're always trying to expand. We appreciate you all support so much. Thank you to some of our members in the chat. I see KCDC, Angry Junk in German, Jay Ward, Savannah Joy says, love you guys. Thanks. Love you guys too. You're the best. Jeremy's out there. Couldn't do this without y'all. So that's why I'm here sick going through it. Don't want to leave you guys hanging during free agency. So look, we'll be back next week, but if something crazy happens tonight, tomorrow, you know, there could be with the cap space the Chiefs have and Legarius Sneed as a trade chip, there's a potential like big move they could make. I'm not saying it's coming.
No question.
Like you've got an asset like him, you can get somebody good.
They damn near killed me when they did the Chris Jones stuff late at night. It was on a Saturday night. I was out with my wife. We went to dinner and a show, like a comedy show. It was actually really good. I had like 4 Crown Royal apples and sodas and then came home. And the second I walked through the door, my phone started going off. And I was like, well, time to fire up an emergency podcast in the old Matt Vertoram Show. And we got through it. Thank God didn't go for 6 or 7 drinks. That was, I looked down at my phone. I'm like, great. Right now. Okay, here we go. Let's get this done. It's great. At least it didn't wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning with that news. But yeah, it was like 10 o'clock at night. Could have done without that. Could have gone, hey, Brett, how about like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, bud? That would have been a lot better.
And let me tell you, man, I want to apologize to our listeners. I was up. I saw it. I was so sick. I could not talk. My throat hurt so bad. I was like, son of a bitch. And like, I'm in the Slack and Sterling's like, should we go live? And I was like, guys, I literally, like, I want to. I can't. It hurts to swallow. It was the peak of my sickness. It was the worst shape I could have been in for that to happen. Otherwise, we would have been live as well. It's KCDC with the Super Chat. Thank you. Appreciate you. All right, everybody. We got to get out of here. But again, we will go live as long as I'm not dead and if something big happens. So keep it here. Make sure you subscribe to the Arrowhead Addict YouTube channel. Thank you to Matt Verderam for joining us. Check out his work at Sports Illustrated. Check out arrowheadaddict.com for all your Chiefs news. And thank you to producer Richard for making this thing work. We'll see you guys next week. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.